have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
I wouldn't be here today, but look at me, look at me. Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Green. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. We have an awesome show lined up for you tonight as the Bishop tackles kingdom issues and current events. But first, let's receive First Lady Sharon Richard with her faithful financial moments. Good evening, First Lady.
Good evening, Jerry. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. Despite our best intentions, many of us make some mistakes in managing our finances, which keep us from achieving our long-term goals. Some of the most common mistakes are, however, not that difficult to correct. When budgeting, we should complete an annual budget rather than simply a monthly budget. Annual budgets instead of a monthly one works best, largely because we feel less confident in our annual estimates. So we tend to add more cushioning for unexpected expenses. We should avoid overspending on housing costs. Traditionally, most of us were told that housing costs can represent up to one-third of our salary. But with school loans, car payments, and other expenses, one-third is simply too much. It's almost impossible to get ahead financially unless you save about one-third of your income. If you are planning to buy a home or shopping for a new apartment, seek to ensure that your housing costs are no more than 20 to 25% of your income. Many of us shortchange investment in our career growth and ultimately our earnings potential by passing on training and development opportunities. The strength of our income in the future is heavily dependent on continuing to focus on developing and strengthening the skills that we have to offer an employer. When we shortchange the commitment to strengthen our skills, we shortchange our financial goals for the future. One of the most common spending traps is the use of reward credit cards. These cards tend to have higher interest rates and unfortunately encourage us to spend more as we get closer to earning appealing rewards. Another common mistake, which has historically been one of my opportunities, is the failure to negotiate prices on items purchased. Most of us go shopping and believe that the price as advertised is the bottom line. Savvy shoppers know that in many cases, there is an opportunity to get a better price. You won't know unless you ask. Finally, despite all of the news reports, most of us still want to believe that Social Security will be there to fund our retirement. Although Social Security will likely be there to some degree, it will not likely be enough to live on by the time you retire. You must begin saving for retirement now to ensure that you will be able to maintain an equal standard of living upon retirement. Avoiding and or correcting these types of mistakes will help you to maximize your financial strength today and in the future. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your gospel news, followed by Open Mic with the Bishop and your host, Bishop Ernest Richard Jr., and I believe tonight, Pastor Anna Henderson and Elder Lauren Brown.
How you doing, everybody? I'm Nina Taylor. Here's this week's gospel news. Christina Bell is a rising female gospel artist from Shreveport, Louisiana. She was born February 27, 1985. She's been singing for more than 20 years. She's a stellar award-winning gospel artist. She found initial stardom as the lead singer in the stellar nominated group Zyel after the group disbanded in 2015, releasing a soul-jerking and seven-song album with gospel superstars such as Fred Hammond, Donnie McClurkin, Yolanda Adams, and Kirk Franklin. Christina grew up in a single-parent home with her mom and two siblings. Her earliest childhood memories come with its own soundtrack. She loved singing as a child and sang when and wherever she could. She sang her first solo in church at the age of four. Christina, a vocal powerhouse, released her first single back in 2019 entitled Going, which hit Billboard's Top 20. In early 2021, she landed Bow Down, which peaked at number 18 on the radio chart. Her commanding presence as a solo artist earned her a Stellar Award nomination for Best Traditional Female Artist of the Year. Albertina Walker. She was born the youngest of nine children on August 29, 1929 in Chicago. Albertina Walker grew up on the South Side and started singing as a child at West Point Baptist Church. A lot of the great gospel artists used to come to her church, the Roberta Martin singers, Sadie Durham, and Professor Fry. She joined gospel groups beginning with the Pete Williams Singers, the Willie Webb Singers, and the Robert Anderson Singers before forming The Caravans in 1951. The original group also included Ora Lee Hopkins, Elsie Yancey, and Nellie Grace Daniels. Classic recordings for the state's label between 1952 and 1954 were Mary Don't You Weep, Soldiers in the Army, The Solid Rock, Lord Keep Me Day by Day, The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power, and Blessed Assurance. The Caravans are heralded as an unparalleled launching pad for future gospel superstars like Shirley Caesar, Inez Andrews, Bessie Griffin, Dorothy Norwood, Cassietta George, and James Cleveland were just a few of the ensemble's alumni who later went on to solo fame. In 1955, they were signed to Savoy Records. Dance fans should take note that the Caravans in 1966 included a teenager and future disco diva named Loretta Holloway. The 70s saw Miss Walker re-sign with Savoy, releasing such LPs as Lord, Please Be Patient With Me, her first Grammy-nominated album, I Can Go to God in Prayer, Spread the Word, I Won't Last the Day Without You. By the 1980s, Let Jesus Come Into Your Heart, I Will Wait on You, and Joy Will Come in the Morning. By this time, she had 11 Grammy nominations. In 1995, she won a Grammy Award for Best Traditional Gospel Album for Songs of the Church. Also that year, she recorded an album with Phoebe Snow, Thelma Houston, CeCe Peniston, Lois Walden, and the Sisters of Glory, and released an album called Good News in Hard Times on Warner Brothers Records. Recently, I watched a documentary on the life of Thomas A. Dorsey, the father of gospel music. Did you know that he started off as a jazz musician and then began to campaign to make gospel acceptable in the church after the tragic death of his wife and child? A former blues man who performed under the name Georgia Tom Dorsey, after his tragic loss, he rededicated his life to the church. His first gospel song was published called If You See My Savior. He went on to publish 400 gospel songs, with the best known song being Take My Hand, Precious Lord. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, Tap Into It, The Source, Renee Spearman and Kim Burrell. 9, In Him There Is No Sorrow, Donald Lawrence and Company. 8, Abel, Jonathan Marinos featuring Marvin Winans. Number 7, I See Good, Moret Brown Clark. Number 6, Ty Tribbett, Only One Night Though. 5, No Stressin', Damon Little with Angie Stone. 4, Reminder, J.J. Harrison and Dion Kipping. 3, Live Again, Kalante Gavin. Number 2, I Will Wait, Bree Barbineau. And number 1 for 2 weeks in a row, James Fortune featuring Monica with Trusting God. Well, that's your top 10 songs and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
Good evening, good evening. This is Elder Brown. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Amen. Truly, we honor the Lord each and every time that we are able to come together. We thank Bishop for this space in his absence. Over to your hand is in the role of running the show, so to speak, and also our guest, Overseer McPherson. We are all just loving the Lord, loving what he's doing in our lives. We're grateful unto the Lord. We want to be able to express that each and every time we come on the line, because we know that as we express our love and admiration and respect and also reverence of the Lord, he makes a way for us each and every time. So on this evening, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about calling Jesus. My topic is really going to be, who are you going to call? And I know it sounds kind of funny, like the, you know, show Ghostbusters, but as we become more seasoned saints, we really should be able to understand with the quickness that we need to call upon the name of Jesus, that we need to make sure that we understand what power comes from calling on the name of Jesus and how the Lord, no matter what we're doing, no matter where we are, how he shows up and shows out for each and every one of us. Amen? All right, I'm going to pray us in, and then after I pray us in, Overseer Henderson is going to read our scripture that we're going to be basing our conversation on tonight. So let us go before the throne of grace. Father God, we thank you for who you are, God, the head of our lives. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, because you are our creator. You're the love of our souls, oh God. We thank you, Lord, because you're our protector, oh God. We thank you, Lord, because you are everything to us, oh God. And we welcome you, oh Lord, into our lives, oh God, into every situation, every crack and crevice, oh God, every place where there is darkness or despair, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for coming in and illuminating it, lighting it up with your light, oh God, and your presence, oh God. We thank you, Lord, because we know that when your presence, oh God, there is a fullness of joy, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, and we ask you, oh God, to give us the right words to minister to each other on tonight, oh God, and to minister to all those that will be listening, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness, for your tender mercies, oh God. And we ask you, oh God, set a watch and a guard our mouth that we may not sit against you, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, for just who you are. And we thank you, Lord, because we know whose we are, because we belong to you, oh God. And we thank you that we can call you Father, that you've adopted us. And we thank you, Lord, for the show going forward without a glitch, without a glitch. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen. All right, Overseer Henderson, it's on you.
Amen, amen. We say good evening to each one of you listening on tonight. Amen. We thank God for you joining us, amen, for this podcast tonight. Our scripture reading tonight is going to be found in Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter, and verse 3. And it reads as such, call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I read in your hearing, amen. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3.
Amen, amen. 33 and 3. Now, if we look at the scriptures and read the first line again, Overseer Henderson, please.
Yes, it says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not.
Now, if we just take that one line and run with it, what would your response be, Overseer Henderson?
Amen. This is the Lord talking to Jeremiah, and he says, call unto me. That's an open invitation. Amen. He says, call upon me, and I will answer thee. Yeah. You know, that's a great invitation to have the Almighty God, the Elohim, the El Shaddai, amen, the creator of the universe and everything that exists, to have him to give us an invitation that we can call upon him. And not only will we have the opportunity to do this, he says, but I will answer thee. And that is such a privilege because we call people on our cell phones and sometimes we only get the voicemail. Amen. Sometimes you call it 911, and sometimes it takes maybe 15, 30 minutes for a response. But you can call Jesus, and the moment you call on him, he is right there. Holly, before we can even form the words in our mouth, he's present with us. That is such a privilege to think that we, hallelujah, have communication with the one that created the universe. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's good to know the God that we serve and who he is. Amen. Hallelujah. And what he has done for us. Amen. That same God. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Not another God, but the same God. Amen. The Old Testament, his name was concealed. In the New Testament, his name is revealed. But the Lord that we call, his name is Jesus, and he promised that he will answer us.
Hallelujah. Yeah, I think it's so significant what you said, because Elise talked about this earlier today, and it's amazing because even now some of the technology that we have, you know, people can see, they get the, you know, number, they can, you know, choose to pick up the phone or choose not to answer the phone. And then even with my daughter's generation, Jordan is 22, she'll be 23. And she calls people and she won't leave a message. I'm like, Jordan, how are they going to call you back if you don't leave a message? Oh, I'm not going to worry about it. And I'm like, okay, but if you wanted to talk to them or you needed something from them, don't you normally leave a message? Oh, no, I don't leave a message, Ma. So it kind of baffled me. And I said, you know, I thank God that they're able to pick up the phone, so to speak, and call God, even if we don't leave a message. Check this out. He still answers us. Still. Yeah. Even if you don't tell him, thank you, Jesus, what's going on? You just call the name of Jesus. He knows. And he is able to dispatch angels to come to our rescue, to come to our deliverance. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. And thinking of that, it makes me feel not only honored, but it makes me feel humble. Because to think of all the things and all the ways that he communicates with us or allows us to communicate with him in all of the intimate ways that he identifies us and thinks about us. Because if you even think about the scripture that says our very faces are tattooed on the Lord's hands. Come on now.
How
awesome is it? You call people in the natural, and just like Henderson said, there are certain people I call, and I won't leave a message because I know they won't listen to their voicemail. So I'll either text them or I'll call them back and purpose in my heart. But even that, sometimes I may forget, and heaven forbid if it's an emergency, hello. So I thank God that we are able to call on him. No matter what the time, no matter what the time zone, there's no cost. There's no waiting. There's no three-way call. So that means that the Lord doesn't put somebody else on the line and doesn't tell you. Because I know that when I'm telling my age now, I remember when three-way calling came out, and a lot of people used to get in trouble, even, you know, some of the people in when I was in junior high school, because they would click somebody else in. You know, Lauren said this and Lauren said that. Blah, blah, and going back and forth, they're doing this. He said, she said stuff. But guess what? Our God doesn't do that. It's a closed, secure line. He never, never tells anybody else about our circumstances. What he does is he is there answering at the ready. How much more can he do for us? Amen?
Hallelujah. Yes.
Hallelujah. And now you said Overseer McPherson is with us, Henderson?
Yes.
What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about calling on Jesus? Talk to me.
Amen. Like Pastor Henderson had said that it is here the Lord was letting Jeremiah know that he was there with him. Looked like Jeremiah was in the court or prison. He was in prison. And the Lord let him know that I give you the invitation to call upon me. You're not by yourself. You're not here all along. I'm here with you. And we know that many times when we go through our trials and tribulations, we know we have that assurance, especially if you're holding on to God and you're a believer, amen, and you're following the word of God, you have that assurity that he's with me. Even when you go into the courtroom, you can be assured that he's with you. Glory to God. And you just, like, depend on him to be there to help you. And I'm reminded of Daniel. Hallelujah. When Daniel was crying out to the Lord, and the Lord told him, he said, from the first day that you prayed, I heard you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But there was something that you had to go through. There was something that you had to wrestle with. But I was there from the beginning and to see you through. Then when deliverance came, he was able to deliver him, but he assured him, hallelujah, I was with you all the time, glory to God, watching over you. So, and that's what we have to realize, that in the time of trouble, we do have someone to call on. We do have someone to seek and pray for us, hallelujah, that will work it out and bring us out. So don't fret. Is that not God? Sometimes we can only say Jesus. Hallelujah. The pain of what we're going through, we can whisper Jesus. Hallelujah. And he'll come to your rescue, like you were saying over in the midnight hour. Many people don't pick up their phone after a certain time. Hallelujah. But the God we serve, hallelujah, he'll answer you anytime. He'll be right there for you anytime. So just call on him, call on him, call his name out, and he will be there in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So awesome.
God.
To our scripture, hallelujah. It says that he was shut up in prison. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto him the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that forged it, the Lord who is, it's the Lord to his name you can call. It says, call unto me. And as Henderson had pointed out, and I think that, so he had said it.
And
it's
I will answer. He said, call me and I'm going to answer you.
That's it. Amen. Amen. We get invitations and we don't even open them. Or we don't even respond. This is a guaranteed response. You don't have to RSVP. You don't have to put it in the mail. And I don't even know how much stamps are, guys. What are they, 50 cents now? But you don't have to mail it back. There's no postage. All we have to do is allow ourselves to call our Father, call our Maker, call the one who created us, call the one who loved us first. Before we even got to human form, he loved us. And he made that sacrifice in giving us his Son to make sure, that we can be reconciled and brought back into his presence in right standing. How awesome is that? How awesome is that?
It's awesome.
That the blood of
Jesus
makes it available to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And that the Lord does not, oh my goodness, I love it. He will not put you on hold. He will not tell you, oh, you're breaking up, I can't hear you. He's not going to tell you, call me later, I'm busy. Or don't call me back, just, you know, deal with it yourself. All those options, God doesn't take them. He stands flat-footed for us and with us. And just like Overseer McPherson said, he's with us. He was in the courtroom of the prison. So that means he was still in the prison building, even though he was in the courtroom. But the Lord was with him. Further, how the Lord can switch gears, any title. So he was his lawyer in the courtroom. He was his speaker in the courtroom. He was doing these things. Why? Because he knew that if he gave Jeremiah that information, that invitation, that he would be able to obtain not only grace, mercy, but love, discipline, deliverance. All those things come from us being able to actively call upon the Lord, because that's an act of submission,
yes, yes.
Number one. It's an act of respect.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's an act
mm-hmm.
of waiting.
Amen.
Because while we're waiting, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And I've had to learn, and again, don't be like me. I used to play peekaboo with the petitions, or, you know, I'm going to help God. Let me call this person. I'm going to help God. We're going to talk this out. No. Sometimes when God gives us the instruction to be silent and what can move, to be silent and what can move, in the silence, still moving. He's still moving.
Yeah.
And it's better for us, and I thank God I've learned over the years. Number one, like I said, with my mom, I'm the baby of four, and my mom was this little five-foot package of woman. But we used to be in a station wagon that had the wooden panels and whatnot. And I was the baby. You know, I used to sit, like, in the middle trying to, you know, be away from the big kids. But my mother, when she was driving, you know, stop calling my name. What are you doing? What's going on? I was like, wait a minute. I didn't say anything, Mom. I was one of you kids, and we used to laugh. But after a while, it got kind of sad because we're like, Mom, are you hearing things? And then later on, she said to me, said, you know, I wasn't sure if I was hearing things, but I kept thinking that, you know, all the time that you kids call my name, I have to respond. And I said, well, Mom, I said, I didn't hear anything. And I used to get in trouble because I used to have a lisp. And she used to say, you know what, don't talk to me like that, that's man. And I said, Mommy, I said, if you take a minute, I said, get quiet. I said, then you can figure out which one of your kids is calling you. Why did I tell her that? She's like, I know what's going on. I know what I'm hearing. And I thank God that now that I'm older, I kind of thought about it. I said, well, same thing with my kids. I only have two kids, but oh my goodness, if they're calling your name over and over and over, and if you're the normal kind of parent, you want to respond, you want to make sure that your child knows that you hear them and that you're able to move and make a change for them. And I thought it was funny because I said, as my mom grew older, her hearing was always very keen, which I thought was funny, because there were four of us. And she would say, you know, it makes a difference when you call my name, when you call my title, because that way I understand that, you know, I can even tell by the, what do you call it, the inflection or the tone of your voice if something is wrong or if you need something. And that is something that I value even to this day, because when you talk to the Lord, when you call him, and we were talking about this morning, there's such an atmosphere change. There's such a sense of liberty. Because even if you think about it, ladies, when we were on the prayer line at 7, the way that the call went and the ability of everyone to join together, and we were corporately calling upon the name of Jesus, the deliverance that came just that quick, even as I had stated on the phone earlier, the healing that came for me, because I was in the middle of an allergic reaction, and I thank God that we were able to come there and receive those results as we're just calling on him and allowing him to do what he does best, which is he takes care of us. He looks out for us. He makes a way for us. And I said, you know what? I was so stunned, so to speak, but I'm not, you know, stunned really, because each and every time I thank God, and you guys know, unfortunately, that I go through different things because of my body and whatnot. And I said, you know, for him to take up that time in the midst of us praying and seeking his faith, and for him to time to heal me, I said, he knew what I needed. He knew what I needed. And all we were doing was calling on his name, praising his name. Somebody said, who wouldn't serve a God like that? Who wouldn't serve a God like that? Would you like to comment?
You don't have to have a... Yes, and he doesn't require that we have a vast vocabulary when we come to him. He doesn't require that we have this expertise in prayer. But if we just call the name of Jesus, they didn't have, you know, Bibles and, you know, like we have today, and, you know, they didn't have the book, but they knew how to make contact with their Creator. Amen. And they knew how to sing those songs, amen, that kept their spirit free and gave them hope. Amen.
Yes.
And I was thinking about the song, what a friend we have in Jesus. And it was saying, oh, what needless pain we bear because we don't take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, my God. It's such a privilege to be able, amen, to call on his name and know that he answers us, according to his will. And I was just thinking that we take it so lightly, I think, you know. And even before we Amen. Even say the words, God is so awesome that he hears the silent words. There have been times
yes.
when I didn't even make it to the prayer to even talk to him. But in my thoughts, I was thinking, Lord, I know you can do this. But, you know, before
yes.
I could even really get in the prayer mode, he heard my thoughts because I said, Lord, I believe
Hallelujah.
You can do this. And before I knew it, it just showed up right in the
Thank
midst,
you.
Amen, of my thoughts. God knows how to meet us right where we are. Amen. He knows how to meet us in the middle of the trouble. He knows how to meet us in the midst of the challenge, in
Come
the
on.
Midst of the pain,
yes.
in the midst of those situations. He doesn't wait till
yes.
everything get right, and then he says, then I meet with you. But he said, if you call on him with a sincere heart, when your heart is
yes.
full of faith and you are believing God,
yes.
he will show up
Hallelujah.
Because faith attracts the presence of God.
Thank you.
And praise and worship
yes.
does too. And so I just thank God
Amen.
For the privilege. Amen. To be able to
Amen.
Call on him. I'm so glad that
Amen.
I know who he is, and I'm not confused, and I'm
yes.
not calling on Buddha and Muhammad.
No.
I'm not
Aye.
Calling
Come
on those other names, my God,
well.
That some people worship. I'm so glad I know that the
yes.
saving name is Jesus. I'm so glad to know who
Amen.
He is, because when you don't know who he
yes.
is, you're calling in vain. But hallelujah, when you
mm-hmm.
answer the call, when he said, come to me, all ye the lady,
well,
lady, lady, and I'll give you rest. I mean,
I'm
I declare when you call on him, he will give
yes.
you a rest in your spirit
hallelujah.
And a rest in your
yes.
mind. Oh, what a mighty
yes.
God we serve. He's a good God. Yes, he is. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Oh,
glory,
yes,
hallelujah.
Yes.
As you said, and then I have to, you know, repent myself, because if we think about it, as we become
yes.
older or seasoned saints, so to speak, you learn that calling on him is better than, you know, making a phone call, better than writing a letter, things of that nature, because we can
yes.
take that time to settle down to understand that when we take our burdens, hallelujah, to the Lord, that he carries those burdens. We don't have to carry things.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to carry depression. We don't have to carry bereavement. We don't have to carry rejection. We don't have to carry abandonment. As we, hallelujah, thank you, take these things to the Lord, leave them there, and then turn around. Shake yourself off if you have to. If you can't shake yourself, just stand and just reverence him and call upon him. And as he says, call unto me, and I will answer you. Buddha doesn't answer
mm-hmm.
you. Nowhere in any of their writings, I don't know what they call their writings, does it say that Buddha answers you. Neither did Muhammad. So now all these other quote-unquote, little gods that people are worshiping and dealing with, I would just like to know, how's that working for you? When you call on their name, what happens? Now,
mm.
mind you, I had a conversation with Jordan before she went upstairs. I said, Jordan, I said, what happens to you when you call upon the name of Jesus? She said, oh, honey, I have to think about that. She said, things start to change. She goes, my mindset changes. Now, this is a 22-year-old young lady. She's been saved maybe 10, 15 years maybe. And I asked her, I said, well, do you know how to use it? She goes, I sure do. She goes, every time I sit down to journal and read my Bible at night, she goes, I talk to him. She said, I find relief. I find answers. I find, she said, peace. I said, thank you. I said, do you want to be on the radio? No, mommy. That's all right. I said, but you know what? Thank God that we can have that exchange where we can talk about it. And understand that
mm-hmm.
it's important for us to be able to do that, because even sometimes in our devotional maybe or other areas, I found that now that I'm older, I understand more why we call upon the name of Jesus. Because at first, when I first got saved, I was kind of like, wait a minute, did we really do that? Are we really, you know, allowed to use his name like that? And I thank God as my teaching came from Dr. Darden, that she told us. She said, now, number one, she goes, be wise about it. Make sure you repent. Call upon the name of Jesus. And as you're developing your prayer life, learn to pray in tongues. So you have that moment of, like, total connection with him where the enemy cannot interpret what you're saying. So as you develop your prayer life, she goes, and the more you call on him, the quicker and the longer he shows up. So I was like, oh my. And I tried it. Now, there were several instances in my life, especially with the death of my father in 2000. And my dad, he and I were like two peas in a pod. And I had the nerve to stand on the floor at Agape, and I told him, I said,
you know, if he goes, they're going to commit me to Connecticut Valley. And Pastor was like, she said, no, don't say that. Don't ever say that. He said, don't disrespect your God. Understand that no matter what you're going through, he'll carry you through. And I'm here to tell you, my father's been gone for 24 years now. And I thank God that I was able to stand. It hurts, still hurts different days, different times. But I thank God that being able to understand the totality of what calling on him means, not only does it give him place to come in, but it shows us respect. It shows us the ability to not only just, to call upon the name, but also to speak up. And I think we've talked about this before. Some people can't even speak up. It's a traumatic experience to say something. And that comes from, unfortunately, our life experiences. If you've been abused, whether it's physically or verbally, it can be a handicap where you can't say anything. And I thank God that when we're able, hallelujah, to just call upon his name, to reverence him and show him, God, I'm here. I know you're with me always, but Lord, I'm here this time. So now that I've called upon your name, oh God, I thank you for the answers, for the answers. What kind of answers do you think that we get, guys? Let me know. Talk to me.
Yes. Well, I thought about, as you were talking, the scripture in Romans 10:13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Well, right now.
Amen. Our salvation is calling on the name of the Lord. Amen. As we call on him. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We get saved calling on that name. I know coming up, they used to call it tearing service, but sometimes people misunderstand it in these days. But really, calling on the name of the Lord was just making room, amen, for him to come in to our lives, amen, to come into our heart. And the more you call on him, the capacity to receive him enlarged to allow him to come in. Because when we call on his name, it's showing our dependency upon him. Lord, I believe you. Lord, I'm dependent on you. This is a relationship that's going to take you to do in my life. And when you get serious about calling on that name, when you get serious about calling on the name, and when you think about the power that's invested in the name of Jesus, miracles take place in the name. Rescue take place in the name. Deliverance take place in the name. Blind eyes open in the name. The dead is raised in the name. My. Resurrection power is in the name of Jesus. And when we understand and have that understanding of that name, we would not take it for granted that we have a name that gives us access to the heavenlies. And what a power and a privilege, to be able to have access because of the name of Jesus. Because in that name is his blood. In that name, is the finished work of Calvary. In that name is victory. Because he defeated death, hell, and the grave and took the keys. And gave the keys, hallelujah, to the church. My God, how there's power in that name. And I just want to say, someone listening tonight, you are a whosoever tonight. Amen. One day I was a whosoever. Amen. And when I called on that name, hallelujah, he heard me. And he filled me with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And my life has been transformed ever since. Has it always been easy? No. But the journey has been sweet. Because every time I call on that name, he always shows up. He's always in time and on time. And he always makes things better. So I just want to encourage someone that may be listening tonight. You may be in a dilemma tonight, but if you get serious about serving him, serious about calling on that name, he'll come in and invade your life. He'll come in and transform some situations. He'll come in and change your mind. He'll come in and change the very thing that you're having difficulty dealing with, because Jesus' name is life-changing. It is a life-changing name. And so we thank God for the precious name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And hallelujah. If you think about the phone conversations we had today, and as I often say it with being funny, so to speak, but part of all the brouhaha, so to speak, I blame Henderson because she starts at 7 o'clock in the morning, gives us an educational word, and then she's praying. Oh my goodness. And it was just so enlightening and so uplifting this morning. And as we went through the rest of the day, normally I go, you know, about my duties and whatnot. Sometimes I set up my stuff for the afternoon call, but it was like I just couldn't keep myself, you know, in my seat. I was walking around the house doing something. I was like, oh, my goodness, that I'm singing the song. And actually I said this morning, too, that's the first thing I did this morning. I woke up, I turned on my YouTube, and I played that video of Bishop Rance Allen. He's passed now, and he and Kirk Franklin, something about the name of Jesus. I'm down here. I had to have like 20, 25. I'm hoping Jordan didn't hear me, but I was laughing because the lady next door, she gets her children ready for school. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. I'm singing this because it brought me deliverance. It brought me healing. And I thank God because I know the power that's in his name.
Yes.
And that power is afforded to us means we can use it. We can use it. And in using it, also acknowledging to him that he is our Lord. He is our deliverer, our sanctifier. He's the center of our life. We put him first. And as we put him first in the hierarchy of life, there is no good thing. Thank you, Jesus. That he was holy.
Yes.
And thank God, even in that small little phrase, I will answer thee. I will and in an answer, there's so many, how do you call it, so many benefits, so many blessings. But as we, you know, stated before, all these other people, you know, if you call that person and you need something, they may or may not get back to you. Now, Henderson also mentioned if you call 911. Yes, you call 911, usually they come, but it does take some time. You never know. Or, God forbid, there may be something where they don't show up. Yeah, and the police, sometimes if you call the police here in New Haven, they won't show up. And it's like, are you serious? But I thank God that every time we call him, everywhere that we're from, there's no long distance bill. There's no static on the line. Thank you, Jesus. There's no interference. Thank you. The call won't be dropped. Hallelujah. So I guarantee you, I said it this morning too, I double dog dare you. Take a minute. Go to your secret place, wherever you feel comfortable, and just sit there for a minute and call on him until you feel that release, until you feel that love, until you feel that healing, until you feel. And I know we're not supposed to go based on feelings, but sometimes when this world is so topsy-turvy, I don't have another, you know, adjective to use. You have to go on your feelings. And don't get me wrong, your feelings will fool you, but when you place your feelings before the Lord, I guarantee you, he will examine them with you. He will tell you, you're going to do this, this is what I'm going to do, I will make a way. And it's better for us to make connections, to make that call with the guarantee that he will answer us in accordance with his word, and, which is his will.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's right. And you know, when you said about feelings, I was thinking that the Lord is concerned about every part of our being, because sometimes we think he's only concerned about the spiritual side of us, but the Lord is concerned about our emotions, our mental, our spiritual, our economical, our sociological.
Yes.
I mean, he's a God who wants us to be healed in every area of our lives. So even our emotions is important to the Lord. So our feelings and how we feel about things is important to the Lord. I'm reminded about the scripture that said that Jesus, amen, who is 100% God and 100% humanity, amen, that he was a God that could be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. When he put on humanity, he was able to identify what it's like to live in this physical suit. He understood emotions. He cried. He got hungry. He got tired. He prayed, you know, and so he understands our emotional side. And I think sometimes in Christendom, we don't really talk about that other side of us because we want to just be on the spiritual side. But our feelings are even important to the Lord, you know. And I thought about years ago, I preached a message. The Lord gave me a message, how do you spell release? And, you know, there used to be a commercial years ago. It says, how do you spell release? And they said, R-O-L-A-I-D-S, Rolaids. And I said, you know, you might feel better, Rolaids.
just make you feel better when your stomach is bloated and you got, you know, upset stomach. But I tell you, when you get Jesus, he takes care of not only the upset stomach, he takes care of the mind, the emotions, the body, the feet, the toenails, the hair strands. I mean, whatever your need is. How do you spell relief tonight? I spell relief J-E-S-U-S. And I tell you that every time I call on that Oboshaya, every time I call on that name, hallelujah, he's always there to aid me and make me feel better. How the songs that I feel better, so much better since I laid my burdens down. Hallelujah. Yeah. Jesus will do you good. He will do you real good. So don't miss the opportunity, amen, to call on him tonight. Amen. It's an open invitation. It's an individual call.
Yes.
So I encourage those listeners tonight to answer the call tonight. Accept the invitation and call on the name of the Lord. He will do you good.
Amen.
Yes, he
does. Amen. 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 Yes. And I find it's very, very satisfying, so to speak, when you're able to just let everything else go by the wayside. You know, we're taught to take the scriptures and meditate upon the scriptures and read the scriptures back to the Lord. But I also find that in our taking the time to call upon his name, it gives us not only a tuning and a shaping, but it gives us direction. And I feel like in that direction, it allows him to further direct us and order our steps in accordance with what the word says. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And allowing him to order even our conversation, that's a blessing. Because it shows us not only in the conversation that he's interested in what we're talking about or interested about what we're going through, but that he is so interested in what we're doing that he gave us his name so we can have access to him 24/7, 365, 366 in a leap year like this year if you want to really be technical about it. And being able to take that access and benefit from it. No other God has ever allowed people that access. All day, all night, every hour. Look at what he is doing for us, how he's presenting himself to us, not only through the death of his son, Jesus Christ. That was the ultimate sacrifice. But he sacrifices his time for us, allowing us, and how can we not take advantage of it, allowing us to call him anytime, as it was forestated before. There are some people you don't call after a certain hour, or even if you do call them, they won't hear it because they've turned their phone off or they've blocked you, things of that nature. They have a set schedule. For example, when you call businesses, it better be between 9 to 5 or maybe 9 to 4, depending on when they really close down. You call your doctor certain hours. God has no hours. Access has been granted all day, every day, through the name of Jesus. Through the name of Jesus. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
And amen.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
What a privilege it is. What a privilege.
Yes.
Thank you.
And before we close, five or six minutes before we close, I want us to just take 2 or 3 minutes or however long we feel is necessary. I want us to just call upon the name of Jesus in corporate.
All right.
Think together.
All right.
Let's watch God.
Something
happened. Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
We thank the Lord, and we ask the Lord to just bless us, keep us close, God,
yes.
and guide us.
Yes.
I love
yes.
you both. Shalom, shalom.
I love you too. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom. Good night. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night, everybody.
Shalom, shalom.